Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, January 17th, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is LaCroix Poppy himself, a.k.a. my fellow Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. Tim motherfucking Gettys.
Let Tim host. How you doing, Bless?
Doing good, Tim. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Tuesday. Doesn't feel like a Tuesday.
What's it feel like to you?
I mean, it feels more like a Thursday, I would say, which not quite.
I mean, we usually don't host on Tuesdays.
That might be
the thing.
It.
We
that
usually host on Thursdays.
There we go.
That's why
I'm
feels
feeling
like
it on the inside. But I am excited because I feel like we have a good show ahead of us.
Oh, yeah.
We sat down at this desk this morning and I was like, we're going to make a show.
Oh, yeah. We're going to make a show, Tim. And I want to start off with a question that is not game related, but it was one that I was pondering this morning. Who do you think is going to have the bigger year between Pedro Pascal of The Last of Us and The Mandalorian and Jonathan Majors?
Yeah.
Of Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And Loki. And the Mandalorian.
I think the answer is me
and
you.
Oh, no, not Mandalorian. Creed 3. That's what
me and you, Bless. Being able to enjoy and take it all.
We're all winners here.
We're the winners here. Yeah, man. No, I think we have a lot of really, really cool special things ahead of us. Obviously, Last of Us Episode 1, you can watch our reaction over on youtube.com/kindoffunny, the screencast podcast feed. We're going to be doing that every week. Loving Pedro's performance there. Barrett and I are about to react to the Mandalorian Season 3 trailer after Games
Daily. It's
been
so hard not to watch it, too.
I know. It really has. But I'm expecting great things from him there. The Creed 3 trailer looks fantastic.
I've not seen the trailer yet. Oh. I've just seen the posters with his muscles, and that's all I needed. I'm like, oh, I'm watching the hell out of this.
Yeah, honestly, at this point, like, I think you should just hold off. Just watch the movie. Just watch it.
I know that. I know my guy Sylvester Stallone isn't in it.
He's not.
But, like, no. I still got my guy Michael B. Jordan.
Yo, he's in it.
Going up against Jonathan Majors.
Yeah, so that's going to be wild. And then, yeah, Ant-Man next month. We are
that doesn't
literally
like
a month away to the day from Ant-Man Quantumania, the beginning of Phase 5 of the MCU.
Where are you at with how good that movie is going to be? Because this is a conversation we had on the Next Gen podcast, where this last one, we did a movie draft that's similar to our video game Fantasy Critic, but it's for movies. And we do it based off of Rotten Tomato scores. I drafted Ant-Man Quantumania, and those are back and forth about, like, is it going to be good? Is it going to live up? Is it going to be better than the other two Ant-Man movies? I'm feeling really good about it because it is Kang, and it is, like, you imagine that they're going to murk Ant-Man like that. I think if they nail it, it's going to be fantastic, right? But, like, how does it compare to the other ones in terms of what it's trying to live up to?
I mean, if you were to ask me 2 years ago, 1 year ago, anywhere in there, what my hype levels were for the upcoming slate, I said on one of the shows that we did, on one of the interview preview things, that this is my number one most hyped Ant-Man Quantumania, because everything we've heard about it, knowing that Kang's really going to be introduced, like Kang the Conqueror is going to be introduced in this, I was like, wow, they're taking this really seriously. Peyton Reed talking about how, the director, talking about how they're going a much darker direction, and clearly we can see that. I was really excited for the prospect of this, not only starting Phase 5 and like being that real shift of solidifying what we've seen in Phase 4, the kind of disparate stories that we've had, bringing them all together, moving towards a more clear conclusion, seeing Ant-Man 1 and 2 being more on the lighthearted side, and then Thor 1 and 2 being more on the dark side, Ragnarok being like the more upbeat, bright version that we all loved. I know I really, really like, and I'd say love, the Ant-Man movies, but they're low on the MCU list overall, right? I know a lot of people really don't like the Ant-Man movies. I don't quite get that, but I think that both sides of that, can be excited for a serious, more dark Ant-Man story, and that's what Quantumania seems like it could be. Watching the first trailer, I was like, okay, everything I'm saying goes out the window. I'm not super sure they're going to pull this off. But seeing the second trailer, I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
You know what? My hype is back. I'm not like back. Through the moon, through the roof. I'm like,
the kick did it for me. It was the axe kick down on Ant-Man's face that did it for me. Right?
Gotcha,
I was like, all right,
gotcha.
This is going to be the one. I think this is going to be a good movie.
But yeah, I'm very excited for 1 month from now. We will be doing an Ant-Man rewatch leading into Ant-Man and the Wasp. Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania.
There you go. So stay tuned for that. Tim, for now, Enough about movies. Let's talk about video games.
Video games.
Today's stories include Suicide Squad leaks, Fire Emblem Engage reviews, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kind of Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, head to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to write in with your questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindoffunny will get you the show ad-free, plus a bevy of bonus content. Housekeeping for you,
BBC.
Our Last of Us HBO Episode 1 review is up right now on youtube.com/kindoffunny. And Tim, is that one worth the dollar?
Oh, it's worth the dollar, baby.
Yeah, go check that out. Of course, thank you to our Patreon producer, Delaney Twining. Today, we're brought to you by the Kind of Funny Patreon, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have five stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one, Suicide Squad leaks. They're happening. There's an image that appears to confirm a battle pass and more. I'm reading from Andy Robinson at Video Games Chronicle. A leaked Suicide Squad image has confirmed plans for live service game elements such as a battle pass. The image, which originated on the 4chan forum and has been verified by a VGC source, is understood to originate from a recent test build and shows various menus planned for the Rocksteady co-op game. The battle pass and multiple currencies shown in the image have inspired debate on social media about how extensive the live service elements will be for the title. However, a development source told VGC that while a battle pass is planned for the game, it will be focused on cosmetic items such as skins. In addition, the various currencies shown at the top of the leaked image are understood to be XP used to power up and customize the skill trees of each anti-hero, effectively making them unique to the player. Quote, "You don't start off debuffed and weak," VGC was told. Quote, "You just start off great and get ridiculous, like Arkham Knight's Batman," end quote. Tim, a battle pass in Suicide Squad, what does that do for you?
I mean, this isn't a surprise at all. It's kind of what we expected from everything we've seen of this game and known about this game. It's still a bummer to hear, you know, and this isn't official, but, like, let's be real. This is probably real.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's, you know, it's not what the people that would be looking forward to a Rocksteady DC-based game, the majority of them, would be wanting. I'm sure there's people out there that this is for, but, hey, the Avengers had Greg Miller. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but
the,
like,
Avengers
the Avengers is like the comparison that scares people, right? Where it's like,
that's my point.
Yeah.
That's my point. It's like the Avengers had one person and it was Greg. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The Avengers should have had all of us. Mm. It should have had the world, and it didn't. And I think that this is a very DC move where it's like the Suicide Squad kills the Justice League. At least the Justice League's in the title somewhere, right? Mm. Like, is this what the majority of the people want to be playing and want to be doing with from a Rocksteady game? I don't know. It is an interesting thing to point out. Like, they've done Batman a million times. So doing something different, hey, cool, it's different. Harley Quinn, obviously a huge character. Like, one of the biggest DC characters, I would say, in terms of recognizability, right? At this point, I think
popularity right now.
Probably sure. Up there in, like, top five. Like, let's think about this. We have Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Harley Quinn, Joker?
I mean, I'll put Joker before Harley Quinn.
That list, that five. Like, am I missing something? I think that is the
I think between Birds of Prey, between the recent Suicide Squad, between the Harley Quinn show, Harley Quinn is up there. I would say top five for sure. Yeah. At least right now in pop culture.
So with that, it's like, I understand the marketing of this. I understand, like, the why. But you look at this and it's like, yo, this is going to be a tough sell. And, like, we look at what was the last game that we heard things about, we're seeing, and we're like, this doesn't seem like the thing. Gotham Knights.
Yeah.
And here we are, right? And, like, granted, this is Rocksteady, but Crystal Dynamics was Crystal Dynamics, bro, coming off of Tomb Raider.
That's the scary thing about this is when we did our PSLW versus XCast draft episode, one of the things that came up was Suicide Squad and our expectations for Suicide Squad. And I think a lot of us came away with it with the thought of, oh, this is Rocksteady, right? Like, Rocksteady they have created incredible Batman games. They know what they're doing, right? This is slightly different from Gotham Knights, where it is WB Montreal, which doesn't have as much of the pedigree there as something like Rocksteady. Let's give this the space. Let's hope for it. Let's hope that it's good. I think there are also just the question marks of, all right, we know it's multiplayer. is it live service? How live is it? Is it games as a service? Like, what are the levels to this? And I don't think just having a battle pass automatically makes you a games as a service or a live service, but it is a step. It right? is a step in a direction that I don't think players expected or want from this game. Right? Like, I think we're looking forward to playing with friends. We're looking forward to co-op. But I think when you look at the Barry, if you're able to bring back up that screenshot, when you look at that screenshot and you see the characters in the background and you see the menus and you see the currencies at the top, I get so much Marvel's Avengers vibes from this. And I would say that to the question of, is this what the audience wants from this game? I don't think no. You know, like, I don't know. I don't think people wanted that from Avengers. If Avengers did it and they did it super well and it worked, then maybe it'd be a different thing. But I think you are you're starting from a place of, okay, people don't want this. How do we convince them on this? And I get worried about the fact that we've not heard them break this down that much in the marketing of the game so far. So far, it's been cutscenes. So far, it's been some gameplay stuff, but we haven't seen them deep dive at all into, hey, this is how multiplayer works. Hey, this is how the battle pass is going to go. Hey, this is our vision for the live service aspect of this game. And I think they got to do that sooner than later, because if it is a thing that sneaks up on us and it's like, oh, this has a battle pass, by the time we get there, I don't think it's going to bode well for the way that people receive the game.
I'm not too concerned about that, because I feel like this is one of those games that got caught in the marketing era of the pandemic, where I don't think it would have been debuted as early as it had been in a normal time. Like, I think that the debut announcement to release would have been a much shorter timeline. So it kind of creates this weird situation that they're in, where I imagine we'll get those deep dive things. We'll get the explanations of what actually is this game. So everything we've gotten so far have just been kind of like style pieces and kind of like tonal things of like, this is what you can expect from the vibe of this game.
We're 4 months out, man.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, like, I imagine in the next... I imagine this leaked for a reason. Let me say that, okay. Right? Like, I think that in the next couple weeks, we'll probably get something from this. Also, remember that the James Gunn DC Films news is supposed to happen very soon, like within the next month, to some extent. What does that look like? We don't know. Could that be a surprise fandom?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, something like that. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if DC did something where it's like, hey, even if it was just, we're going to do a day of announcements like Disney Plus does on Twitter, where it's like, stay tuned to DC's Twitter for game announcements, movie announcements, TV announcements, like all that stuff. Because James Gunn's taking care of the whole thing, right? Like, it's not just movies. So,
but Barrett, you're my Batman Arkham guy. What does this do for you?
Exactly.
Just a sigh.
It's one of those things like, you know, all signs were kind of pointing to this. There were rumors that it was going to be a games as a service, I think, like a year or two ago. And it was, for me, it was like, I'll believe it when I see it, because it's Rocksteady. Maybe games as a service is the only, like, the closest way to describe what they're trying to do. Seeing this, and granted, it's only a screenshot, but seeing this, it feels like they're chasing something rather than trying to be the trendsetters, which disappoints me for Rocksteady, right? They're chasing the, you know, let's get a squad up, let's have all of these different currencies, let's have a battle pass and stuff like that. And that in and of itself just kind of bums me out with Rocksteady, because there was a time where, you know, they weren't chasing other things. They were trying to innovate and create something completely new for the superhero genre. And so this just doesn't... this doesn't stream to me that, which is just kind of disappointing. Mm. Granted, well, maybe the gameplay is fun. Maybe there's a killer story in there and stuff like that. But just on a design standpoint, I'm a little worried.
Bear Courtney,
Timothy Geddes.
I have a question for you that I almost don't want to ask you because I don't want to hurt you. Do you think that this game's going to be better than Gotham Knights?
If it's worse,
you just broke him.
The fact that you have to hesitate, dude, that's not good.
I mean, in my heart of hearts, like Paris was saying when we did the draft last week, it's like, it's Rocksteady. We got to believe in Rocksteady, but there's also been shakeups in Rocksteady in the last like 6 months. We don't know why that happened.
Mm-hmm. It's also been 8 years since Batman Arkham Knight,
yeah.
Right? And you're talking about a Rocksteady that's probably so not that same Rocksteady anymore. You know, people change, studios change and evolve.
Rocks aren't steady.
Yeah, like, this is, if you had told me after Arkham Knight that the next Rocksteady game is going to be a Suicide Squad game that's going to be online connected battle, it's going to have a battle pass, and you're going to play as King Shark and Boomerang Man, I'd be like, all right, like, I guess, right? Like, that this seems like a different type of game for them. And maybe they nail it, right? I think best case scenario is the Battle Pass stuff is just cosmetic and it is extra stuff, right? It isn't the core of the experience. The core of the experience is, all right, mission-based, you're hopping into missions with friends, you're going through it, and it feels more like a Borderlands than a Marvel's Avengers. I think that's best case scenario. My question is, like, is this still that same Rocksteady that has the same talent?
I mean, it's such a good question to ask. And, like, talking about Rocksteady, I feel like there's a Blessing Show topic here somewhere that I'd like you to do investigative research into, because I don't want to. But Rocksteady is such a unique developer in terms of their successes and where they're at in 2023 that the only other team that comes to mind is Retro, right? Where they came out with the Metroid Prime trilogy and absolutely killed it, and it was awesome. And then there was like a big gap. And eventually they did the Donkey Kong Country Returns and Tropical Freeze, which were also incredible games. We never got that from Rocksteady, right? And the timing was a little bit off in terms of the generation, Metroid Prime being a generation earlier than Rocksteady started. But it's interesting that I would have never thought that we would have a 7-year gap of Rocksteady games, right? Mm-hmm. Like when Arkham Knight came out, felt like we were like, oh, within 3 years, we'll have the next Rocksteady game. Whether it's Batman or not, it felt like it probably wouldn't be, just because there's a tendency for trilogies to be the answer to things in any media, really. So I don't know. It's like just, it's kind of weird that there are these two different teams out there that have similar stories that are renowned and haven't put anything out that's even close to, like, okay. Everything's been a banger.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see, man. Like, we're going to get a Retro game someday, right? We're going to... Is Retro still working on Metroid Prime? Is that their thing?
Because
Metroid Prime got moved over to them.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see Metroid Prime someday.
Yeah. You know, we will.
Hopefully on a Switch
and
Pro.
We'll see this one hopefully sooner than that.
And we'll see Suicide Squad in the spring, a few months away.
You're really fucking with me on the... Could this be... somehow worse than Gotham
Knights. I think
Knights,
this will be better than Gotham Knights. I'll put that out there.
All I'll say, to pull the curtain back a little bit, there might be a script that the tone might need to change if this game is somehow worse than Gotham Knights.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah. I will say, to throw this game some bail, I have liked what we've seen of, like, the cinematic trailers and the interaction
again,
with the Justice League.
I'm hopeful for... But here's the thing, bless fuck. I said this about Gotham Knights. I'm hopeful for the story. And if that's where I'm at with this game, man, like, I don't know. I really don't know.
I just want to live La Vida Loca. You know what I'm talking about? Like, that's my
if
only goal.
If they have
goal.
A live in La Vida Loca moment in this fucking game, maybe
it's
they
the
can
suicide. It's the Suicide Squad. It fits the Suicide Squad, though.
But
you know
that,
what I mean?
That scene in Gotham Knights was Harley Quinn.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Damn.
And it was bad.
Oh, man. I want to bring in a question from Connor C, who wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, and says, with Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League being rumored to be a games as a service title, what do you think is the biggest lesson and takeaway Rocksteady should learn/take from Marvel's Avengers? I personally hope it's not as repetitive and can actually bring variety to the gameplay. Thanks, and have a great week, everyone. Connor C. What can Suicide Squad learn from Avengers?
I mean, man, I don't know.
Here's what I'll say. I really enjoyed the campaign, the story campaign for Marvel's Avengers. I think it was a really interesting way to explore those characters. I love how they did Kamala Khan and made her the main character, essentially. I liked the different unexpected things that they did in terms of introducing the characters. I still think back to the scene with Iron Man where, like, he's doing stuff out with, like, his makeshift Iron Man suit, and he's basically not even wearing a suit. That stuff, I was like, that's super cool. The stuff with Captain America where you go a long way to find Captain America, I thought that shit was really dope. I want moments like that, but with the Justice League. If it is, you're going to Star Labs to hit up the Flash, or, like, and you have a cool moment there, or, you know, you do something cool in the Batcave, or whatever locations they can pull in that are really cool references that explore those characters in cool ways. I think they have the opportunity to do that, and I think they can do that well, because if there's anything Rocksteady knows how to do, it is create a really good Batman/DC story.
Wait, hold on. But so what you're telling me, Buzz, is you want them to just make a really good single-player campaign
game
with these characters?
Yes, I am.
That's what okay, cool.
I want
that's
to
what
do
they
that.
Can learn from the Avengers, okay.
Because that's the thing I like most about Avengers, right, is, like, the parts about Avengers that weren't the multiplayer games and server stuff is the stuff that I was like, oh, man, this is great. And then I got to the multiplayer live server stuff, and I'm like, this stuff sucks.
I couldn't even get through the single player stuff for Avengers, and that's like I enjoyed what they were doing with the Kamala Khan and stuff, but it was purely just the gameplay. The gameplay felt so awkward and stiff to me,
yeah.
And it just felt mindless. And that's the thing that I hope this doesn't turn into is like on a third person shooter level, it just being mindless gameplay.
Scoopball 420 in the chat says, I think you guys are panicking a little too much. The reason it's taking so long is probably they learned from Avengers and making big changes. We haven't seen enough actual game yet to judge. You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. And I hope that this is going to like do it right, that they have learned from Avengers, that they've learned from battle passes and games and services and everything that's been going on outside of even the superhero genre, because there is good out there and this should work. Like, we should look at this and be excited about it. We just see certain words and are like, we've been burned before. We know what these words more likely than not will mean. I think that's the problem. Ideally, we should be excited about an Avengers game that's this living multiplayer thing that we want to play with our friends and want to not end. We want to get more content. We want to keep playing month after month. So it's like, yeah, I'm rooting for this. I just, from my experience of seeing these things, don't have faith that it's going to be good.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? We're going off of the history of what these kind of games have done for us, right? Like having experiences like Avengers and having other live service games experiences that come out, and it is us chasing a trend and us chasing the fact that other games have battle passes and not living up to that. And my argument against that chat that is like we haven't seen enough is the fact that why haven't we seen enough? The game is how many months away? 4 months away?
Four months away?
4 months out. I feel like we should have seen a lot more. And we've seen like these cool trailers, the cinematic trailers, but this is a game as a service, and none of us know, like, how? Like, how do we not know that already? I think that, for me, that's where my beef comes from, is the fact that it feels like it almost feels like they're trying to hide a blemish, because maybe they know, maybe they're like, oh, yeah, people don't respond well to this, so keep it until we're closer to launch and then reveal what it is, but I don't think that's going to go over well with people that are expecting this game to be one thing, and then the veil is going to get pulled away, and they're going to see that it is, oh, okay, so this is like Marvel's Avengers.
I also don't believe it's going to hit that date.
You think it's gonna
like, I kind of look at this and I'm like, it doesn't seem like this game's actually ready. But I've been wrong a lot about that in the last couple of years. Everything's out. Like, anything, prior knowledge is almost irrelevant because the pandemic changed everything. And plans change, especially with where DC's at, where Warner Brothers is at. Like, good Lord, who knows? Like, there's so much shit that could happen. This game could be canceled just out of nowhere. And it's like, oh, taxes. And
that you're
just
would
like,
be,
okay,
oh,
cool. But no, like, legitimately, like, we just don't know where this is all going to shake out. But I feel like last year, even with Dying Light 2, it's like, I would have, if you told me right now that Dying Light 2 still is sending you promotional emails and still isn't out, it's like, a couple years ago, I would have been like, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if by 2023 that game's still not out. But, hey, it came out last year. Came out early last year when they said it was going to, the third or fourth time. But when they said it was going to. So I wouldn't be surprised if this gets delayed. But I think that we will hear about it soon. I think that they will start answering all those questions.
Here's what I'll throw out to you to respond to Connor's question, right? I mentioned the story stuff. Another thing that I think they could learn from Marvel's Avengers on a gameplay level is, this is going to sound very simple, making it fun, right? And not just fun in terms of like the game needs to be fun to play, but fun in terms of you are working with a Suicide Squad, right? You got Captain Boomerang, you got Harley Quinn, you got King Shark, you got Deadshot.
Everyone's favorites.
Everybody's favorites. But, you know, where playing Avengers and playing as Hulk or Captain America felt like just me mashing buttons and like doing the moves that you expect me to do, but not feeling worthwhile, it not feeling like that interesting of an experience using those characters in that game. I think there's fun stuff you can do with Captain Boomerang in terms of abilities to make it over the top. Right? Like, these characters don't have to be boring in the way that Marvel's Avengers playing as Captain America for me was boring. Give King Shark a fucking wild ability where I rip people's heads off with my teeth and, like, make the gameplay actually fun as hell to play and make it over the top and make it interesting. I think that's a great way to start. I think one of the things I didn't like about Avengers were the amount of missions that were like, hey, guard this area. Like, guard this circle and just take out enemies within the circle. And it is those basic gameplay setups that are, hey, it's multiplayer, so let's find ways in which we can just give people ways for enemies to take out. I think mission design could go a long way when actually putting thought into the mission design and making it a thing of, you look at the screenshot and they have the chapter select, and chapter 3 here says worst laid plans. You imagine that they're going to be going through corridors doing all this stuff. Make the moment to moment of the missions engaging and interesting, right? I think those are the things that are going to get people in. I go back to Outriders, which is a game that a lot of us, for the most part, were like, yeah, this is a fine video game. But I think the thing that was fun about Outriders was getting into these different environments, going through them with friends, and like shooting through these through these galleries. Make those galleries interesting. Make those environments really fun, really interesting. Make the dialogue and banter between characters, again, really fun and really interesting. And I think you'll have something that people could fall in love with.
I hope so.
We shall see. Story number two, let's talk about Fire Emblem Engage with a review roundup. Right now, Fire Emblem Engage is sitting on Metacritic at an 82 and on OpenCritic at an 82. Let's start with Brendan Graber at IGN, who gave it a 9 out of 10 and says this. It's no small feat that Fire Emblem Engage is able to tell a simple but fun story that celebrates the vast history of its series in a way that doesn't rely on prior knowledge of that legacy. Building the perfect team of diverse characters and pairing them with the emblem rings of past heroes allows for tons of customization and strategy. And blasting through the enemy ranks with their special powers is always immensely satisfying. Both its main and side missions provide a good deal of challenge, and clever twists and obstacles offset a reliance on overly familiar mission objectives. Couple all that with a suite of quality of life improvements that immediately feel vital, and Fire Emblem Engage proves itself worthy enough to be counted alongside the legacy it honors so well. Jake Decker at GameSpot gave it a 7 out of 10 and says, while Fire Emblem's combat mechanics have never been better, Engage's story and structure lack the ambition of its predecessors. The result is a predictable and straightforward romp that's carried by its fantastic presentation and engaging combat. And although the emblem rings add a deep and satisfying wrinkle to the battles, the heroes contained within them are one-dimensional apparitions that leave a lot to be desired. If you're looking for a deep tactical RPG with some colorful characters, it will certainly scratch that itch. But beyond that, a Fire Emblem Engage feels like a safe, straightforward entry in Nintendo's long-running series. And then Mike Mahardy at Polygon gave it an unscored review but said, it can't quite reach the crescendos that Three Houses did, and it certainly doesn't achieve the longevity of Awakening, but it is consistently great. And is confident enough to let me take the reins. Tim Geddes.
Yes.
Have you gotten to check out Fire Emblem Engage yet?
I have. I'm just a handful of hours in to Engage. And what the reviews here are saying, I think, is very in line with my thoughts on it. I feel like I'm a little lower on it in the sense that I'm not a tactics guy. So the games really need to grab me in order for me to be like, all right, I'm here. And once I'm in, right? And Fire Emblem was my first tactics game. I always tell the story that people often write in questions. They're like, what's a game that you tried outside of a genre you liked? And all of a sudden you're like, wait, I think I like this genre. And Fire Emblem Path of Radiance on the GameCube was that for me. Playing Smash Brothers, Marth and Roy be my mains, eventually Ike. I was like, I need to know, where are they from? What is this game? And I ended up falling in love with Path of Radiance and became one of my favorite games ever. Then when Awakening came out on 3DS, it was this big moment of the world kind of getting to realize what I had, that FedEx mind-blown moment of like, whoa, Fire Emblem is utterly fantastic. There's something really, really cool and special here. And Awakening to this day is, like, I think, the best Fire Emblem game. Continuing on with the success that the franchise had, I really enjoyed pretty much all of the 3DS entries. And when we got to Three Houses, there was just something about it where they went further into the relationship support side of things than I liked. I liked more the tactics side. And it's funny because a lot of people seem to like that stuff more, which is why Three Houses is their favorite. This game so far seems to have a lot of that, but like the reviews here are saying, it doesn't even seem as gripping, where Three Houses, the idea of like going, there's something about schools that like is just relatable, right? You always talk about loving the bullshit ass CW high school shows. I love my Degrassi. Like, I just love that high school drama and like all that type of stuff. And it like doesn't even
talk about Persona, Tim.
That, but that's what I'm saying. Like, that type of stuff, like, I get it, right? Like, I think it's an easy sell, easy pitch to a lot of people. And so Three Houses, I think, does that well. Where Engage, I think, is a tougher sell, and this is coming from somebody that has played many Fire Emblem games. It has a reverence for itself as a franchise that I don't think the majority of people have. Like, this game specifically is like, it's like a weird greatest hits game. It is a core Fire Emblem game, but it's digging back in the past and you're like pulling out the emblems of these heroes from the past. And it's like, sure, we all know Marth from Smash Brothers. You know, you see Roy, you're like, oh, that's Roy. But then at a certain point, you're just kind of like, it's the Smash Brothers joke of blue-haired guy with a sword. And I so far have had some fun things where I'm like, oh, it's her or it's him from the different games. But I'm like, pretty immediately, I'm like, all right, I can imagine, like, the way that they're acting like it's You know the Glub Shitto joke that everybody makes about Star Wars or Marvel or anything? It's like people lose their fucking minds in the post-credits. Mm-hmm. This treats character reveals like Marvel post-credits, but it's like we don't know these characters.
Yeah.
So it just kind of feels a little bit weird. So that's been my experience so far. But in terms of presentation, like they were saying here, it's beautiful, and especially on the Switch OLED, the colors of this, the way that they line the characters, it pops so well. And I think more than ever, something about Fire Emblem that's been interesting since the jump is there's multiple art styles, because we get the kind of like conversation pieces when the characters are going back and forth. We have the gameplay of them on the grid, and then we have the overworld and the cutscenes and all of that. This, I'd say, is the most cohesive that we've had so far, mm-hmm. where all the character always looks the same, no matter where it is, which I think is pretty damn impressive. And a sign that, like, the Switch has a lot in it when you do focus more on the art style and things like that, and for simpler games like this. But the gameplay is tight as hell. It's Fire Emblem, and I definitely recommend this to people that are interested in trying a Fire Emblem game. But I would say that this is probably not going to be the best entry point for the franchise.
Well, that brings in this question from Eric H, who writes into kindoffunny.com/KFPD, just like you can, and says, as the review embargo for Fire Emblem Engage has just been lifted today, is this game a good starting point for someone who has no prior knowledge of the franchise? I've heard many good things about the previous game, Fire Emblem Three Houses, which has piqued my interest, but I am unsure of where to turn to as a beginner. Tim, they shouldn't play Fire Emblem Engage as an entry point. What should they check out?
Well, so that's we're in the weird Nintendo predicament where the answer is Fire Emblem Awakening on the 3DS. Like, that game is fantastic. I think it's self-contained enough that it is a fantastic story. It gets you an amazing understanding of what Fire Emblem is, why it is, like all that stuff. The problem is, if you don't have a 3DS, there's no way to play it. Like, it's just like a weird thing where, cool, it's now locked a generation behind, and I don't know that that's ever going to be solved. Like, I rack my brain thinking how they're going to present a dual screen on the Switch in a way that like works, because that's just such a waste of real estate of the screen, unless they figure out doing one of the vertical things. I don't know. So that's a problem. I don't necessarily think that this is a bad entry as your first. I just don't think it's the best. But I do think that if you go in with an open mind, understanding that the moments that they're presenting to you as hype, just pretend they're hype. I think that that'll help you a lot. Like, just go in understanding, yes, they're celebrating a history that you don't know, but the people that do know appreciate it. But I guess my question is, like, even to someone that appreciates it, I don't know that I appreciate it that much.
Okay. Tim, you know what I appreciate?
What?
Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can go and you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about a sponsor. This week on Patreon, the next-gen crew of Kinda Funny, myself, Barrett, Joey, and Roger, did a fantasy film draft picking which movies we think are going to be the best reviewed, and we had some wild choices.
This third one is about to pop off with one Jonathan Majors, because he's looking a God big, damn thick it. Boy.
He has a
Creed
killing me.
3, baby.
He has a killing me, man.
Go. Not even on my list.
Roger, how is that your not list? On your list?
Dune 2. Right, like that's gonna be a banger. Yeah. We have Austin Butler.
Wasn't he like a child star in something?
Yeah. Zoe 101.
Yeah. Zoe 101.
Oh,
he's
my guy.
He's like the bad boy.
Yeah. My dude.
Oh, my guy.
My guy. Oh man, I love that dude.
Can we draft a movie DLC?
Trailer. I would like to draft an unannounced Marvel like post-credit scene.
Head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny to listen to this and hundreds of other exclusive episodes right now. Of course, that was an ad for Patreon, right? We're doing the next-gen podcast. Tim, you know what I think about every now and then? Is how good the shit list is.
I know.
As a Patreon show. And we got to promo that sometime, because I'm sure most people aren't aware of the shit list, or, you know, haven't gotten to experience an episode of the shit list. But episode per episode of the shit list is fire.
It's just a fun
every single time.
Yeah.
Maybe the most fun I have during a show on Kinda Funny.
Yeah.
And so if you feel like going over to Patreon, checking out a show, of course, check out Next Gen Podcast. Check out the shit list also.
Yes. Also check out the Next Gen Podcast.
But also check out the Next Gen Podcast.
But also, I will say, I think I've missed the last couple shit lists. I've really missed it. I've really missed
it. I know, right?
There's been some bangers.
It's been some bangers. Let me tell you about the last list we did. The 10 best NES
They'll
games.
They'll have to go to Patreon to figure that out.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Story number three. The Last of Us becomes HBO's second largest debut since 2010. This is Peter White at Deadline. The Last of Us drew a healthy number for HBO on Sunday night. The video game adaptation starring Pedro Pascal drew 4.7 million viewers across linear and HBO Max. It marked the largest debut after House of the Dragon since Boardwalk Empire launched in 2010. The Game of Thrones spinoff made history last year by premiering with 9.9 million viewers across linear and HBO Max, the largest audience for any new original series in the history of paid cable. Period drama Boardwalk Empire, which starred Steve Buscemi, launched in 2010 with 4.81 million viewers tuning in to its premiere on its linear network. The premiere numbers were nearly double the season 2 debut night for Euphoria, which recorded 2.4 million last January. That series went on to average 19.5 million viewers per episode.
That seems more aligned with what I expected from Euphoria. Man, congratulations to them, right? Like they pulled it off. And, you know, these numbers are extremely impressive no matter how you look at it, no matter what context you put it in. Talking about even the House of the Dragon, right? Like a follow-up series to Game of Thrones, that Game of Thrones being one of the biggest media properties of all time, right? And even if it had its last season and people took it one way or another, like House of the Dragon came in, people loved it, and immediately it was another success, and it showed that HBO, giant, like this level of quadruple A, can still fucking bang, right? And the fact that they've presented Last of Us as almost like the follow-up series to Game of Thrones, where we had White Lotus in between, there's Succession, like there's these series that people love. But they're not like the big, like, everybody stop what you're doing. You have to watch this on Sunday. Last of Us is that, right? And those are for a lot of people. But I'm talking about like these Game of Thrones and Last of Us now are going to speak to, I would say, the majority of people that turn on a TV. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That have access to be able to watch this. They probably will. If you're a TV watcher, there's interest here. Not just from the gamers, not just from people familiar, but from anybody, because HBO's done a good enough job promoting Last of Us as a big deal and explaining why it's a big deal to people that don't already know that it's a big deal.
Mm. I'm gonna approach this from the perception of, or perspective of, immigrant parent, right? Where I look at this, right? Okay, you got the second largest debut since 2010. What is it gonna take to get number one, Tim? Mm-hmm. Is there a reality where Last of Us supersedes Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
And House of the Dragon is number one on HBO?
Yeah. Last of Us season 2.
You think so?
I mean, that's how it works, right? You need to be a proven entity in order to come out. I mean, look, I think the Euphoria numbers are really important to point out here, right? The debut being 2.4, but then episode averages 19.5. There's a big jump there. That's that word of mouth. Mm. Let's see where Last of Us is the next couple weeks as more and more people start talking about it. And everyone's talking about episode 3 being like entirely game-changing and like one of the best episodes of TV ever. If that's the case, and then there's just even more word of mouth and they keep up the quality that we expect them to, yeah, I think that come season 2, it's going to be a behemoth on their hands. And now, then there'll just be the fight between House of the Dragon and Game of Thrones, Last of Us, right? But, like, that's where HBO wants to be, obviously. Mm-hmm. That's where we want TV to be, is, like, having multiple water cooler moment shows that are actually worth it. Like, we've had so much prestige television recently in the last couple years, like, more than ever because of the shift from linear to streaming. Like, them talking here about Boardwalk Empire having 4.7 million viewers across linear, sorry, those numbers are wrong. 4.81 linear on cable. It's like, those numbers mean something very different, right? That was a different era. That was a different way that people consumed content. And those days are over. Nowadays, numbers mean something different. They're in a different league, and they're calculated differently. They're expected differently. They're marketed differently. So with this, I think that Last of Us is going to be a massive, massive hit. And I think it's going to be a similar story to what we see with the box office recently of anytime one of the expected big heavy hitters comes out, it's just breaking all the records that the one before it set.
Mm-hmm. One thing that we didn't get to talk about during our Last of Us review, of course, youtube.com/kindoffunny. Go there. It's me, Greg, Tim, talking all about Last of Us episode 1. We'll be talking about it every single week, Mondays, 9 a.m. Tune in. One thing we didn't get to is the future of the Last of Us show, right? Last of Us post season 1, of course, season 1 is going to wrap up the entire first game. Where do you think they go after this? Of course, like, what, only 2 games to cover? Is it only 2 seasons?
I imagine it'll be 3 seasons, and I imagine part 2 split into 2 seasons.
And I think by the time they get there, maybe we hear a little bit more about what the future of the Last of Us game series is looking like.
Yeah.
To bring this back, I'm really interested to see what the Last of Us game numbers are going to look like in the coming months, especially with like the PC version dropping and all this stuff. I've weirdly seen a lot of normie friends from back home in Ohio posting, like, they're playing the game for the first time, and they're playing, like, there's a lot of people who are playing up to, like, what the first episode did and stuff like that. And there's a post, I was trying to find it earlier, someone was like, to all the people who were like, why are they doing a Last of Us Part 1 remake? This is why.
Yeah,
100%.
I mean, yo, like, we, like, did I start it again? Yeah, I did.
I've been thinking about it. I just showed Gia.
I was like, hey, I want you to see, like, and she was interested. She was just like, how's the game? And I was just like, let me show you up until, you know, some of the key moments in the first.
A conversation I was having a couple nights ago with our friends Danny and Ree was about Last of Us Part 1 and whether or not the sales for Last of Us Part 1 as a video game are going to be as big of a jump as we saw with Cyberpunk and Witcher. Because the argument that they were making, and I kind of see where they're coming from with this, is the idea that with the Witcher TV show, you finish that and if you want more of the universe, the Witcher games are telling a different story and are covering more of that universe. Same with Cyberpunk, where you finish the Cyberpunk show and you go to the game and you're getting different parts of that story. I think it's going to be very interesting seeing the numbers in terms of Last of Us Part 1 telling the same exact story as the show. I know the numbers are going to spike, right? A lot of people are going to come in, but I wonder if it's going to be as comparable as those other two.
See, the thing with that argument, I don't agree with it because I feel like anybody that's played The Last of Us and watched episode one of The Last of Us knows that they are different enough. Like, there's so much shit that isn't in the game, and we've played the game. There's so much shit that isn't in the show. Mm. So it's like, yes, there's a lot of things that are the same, but there is a lot that is different. And it could be a lot of little things, but a lot of little things add up over the course of hours and what you get out of the experience. Like, I just don't really understand. It's super high quality in both places, so it's like you're getting something out of that. And on top of that, I don't think that, you just want more of the world. It's like, I think a lot of people, when you watch something, if you like it, you want to watch it again. You want to rewatch it. Mm-hmm. You want to know what you missed. Like, even episode one of Last of Us, there's a lot of things that first-time watchers don't know, things that they're referencing or setting up. But if you rewatched it, you'd be like, oh, my God. Like, this line of dialogue or this little thing or like this thematically ties back to that. I think that playing through the game after watching season one of the show will do that in a different way of like, you'll catch things that you didn't your first watch through, but because it's the same story, quote unquote, you're kind of able to like ingest it a little bit better and like more and like truly understand the characters and see the subtleties and the differences between Ashley Johnson and Bella Ramsey and things like that. Like,
I'm excited to see. I mean, PlayStation's pushing it. Of course, they put up their free trial for PlayStation Plus. It's a premium. PlayStation Plus premium members, they can go check out Last of Us Part 1 right now as if they haven't played already. But, like, they're pushing it. I'm curious to see what those numbers end up like. Because I think the other thing for me, too, is Last of Us multiplayer game is going to come out sooner or later. And I think that's also going to be one that benefits greatly from having both the Last of Us Part 1 game and now a TV show out that people are going crazy for. I think that's going to be the interesting one of, all right, can we put out a games as a service game that is covering different parts of the world? That is something that you can play with your friends.
So a couple of things I want to say about Last of Us here. Mm-hmm. An interesting thing to point out about the numbers, right? And a couple weeks ago, we were talking about the numbers, and I forgot exactly what I said, but it was some dramatic statement of like, by this time next year, they're going to update the Last of Us franchise numbers, and they're going to be like
insane,
demonstrably bigger, like by millions and millions and millions. I think that there is a big difference between The Witcher and Cyberpunk and The Last of Us in so many different ways, both just as video games, as TV shows, where they're being presented. The Last of Us show is going to dwarf The Witcher in terms of numbers. It's going to dwarf Cyberpunk in terms of numbers of people watching and people liking. Let's say all of them are equal quality. Let's say all of them are perfect tens, mm-hmm. right? Because I think a lot of people feel that these are all amazing things. I still think that Last of Us has a mainstream appeal that Witcher doesn't and that Cyberpunk doesn't. So I just think that we're just dealing with numbers, right? And those numbers keep going higher and higher. On top of that, more people are willing to buy a PlayStation than willing to buy a computer and play games on a computer. When we're talking about the mainstream HBO audience, mm-hmm. right? Like, I think that there's an inherent interest, there's a higher likelihood that people will have a PlayStation. Specifically, when we're talking about Last of Us, that when to have a PlayStation just means PS3, PS4, or PS5, mm-hmm. right? I think that there's a lot there that the numbers are going to be super crazy. In terms of the show going on further, I do think season 2 and 3 will cover part 2. But the thing is, we don't necessarily even need them to come out with part 3 for more content that's official because of factions. There can't, like, season 4 of Last of Us could be an anthology series. We don't know what factions is. So maybe that makes sense. Maybe that doesn't. But it could just be like filling out the world, and the quality can be just as good if we're getting like episodes that are just taking place that are character-based, which is why we love Last of Us to begin with.
One thing I'll throw in there, do you think there's a possibility that season 2 isn't jumping into Last of Us Part 2, and it is maybe an in-between story between 1 and 2? because of course there is that time jump, right? Ellie in the second game is older. She is a more seasoned, more violent Ellie. And Bella Ramsey, right? I don't think is just going to immediately age up. I guess like maybe they could do it through makeup or like film tricks or whatever, but I wonder if there's content there that they can make that is just hanging out at Tommy's and like telling a story that happens in between Laughs is Part One and Part Two. Maybe they run into a new faction or something, something like that.
My gut says no. Mm-hmm. I, from everything I've seen and heard and the vibes I get from Neil and Craig, it seems like they don't want to create new story. Like they want to like build from what they have, but I don't think they want to have like giant swatches of like new content. So I don't think that we'll get that. But again, we don't know what factions is. Like we don't story wise, but they keep pushing ambitious. They keep pushing that there's going to be narrative stuff in it that is Naughty Dog quality. You can adapt that much easier in TV form than movie form.
Hey man, Fear the Last of Us.
Fear the fucking Last of Us.
No,
Fear the Last of Us. Story number four. Metal Gear Rising voice actor claims announcements in the coming weeks. This is Chris Scullion at Video Games Chronicle. The voice actor who plays Raiden in the Metal Gear Solid games has seemingly teased that there may be new announcements related to the Konami series soon. Quentin Flynn has played Raiden in Metal Gear Solid 2, Metal Gear Solid 4, and Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, and last week tweeted a video advertising his cameo page. On Monday, a follower replied to the video, stating that the 10th anniversary of Metal Gear Rising would be in February 2023. This caused another follower to reply earlier today, wondering if a possible Metal Gear Rising 2 could be on the way, perhaps with an announcement as part of a larger Metal Gear Showcase stream. Quote, "Stay tuned for things to be announced in the coming weeks," Flynn replied with a winking emoji. It's not clear whether Flynn was referring to Metal Gear Rising 2, a Metal Gear event, or just new Metal Gear news in general. VGC sources previously claimed in 2021 that Singapore-based studio Virtuous was working on a new version of Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater. Last year I said that was Virtuous's mission. VGC later reported that an employee at Virtuous had claimed it's working on an unannounced AAA action-adventure game remake, following our report that it had been handed the MGS license. Modern ports of the original Metal Gear Solid games are also understood to be planned, with a reveal for all the projects likely this year. Tim, what's going on here?
I'm going to say nothing until we see evidence otherwise. Like, this could be so many different things. Like, I feel like in the last couple years with social media's rise, and like, not just rise, like just normality at this point, voice actors saying things, they may know information. They may be saying things they're not supposed to. They may just be promoting that they're going to be at a convention.
Exactly.
So yeah. I think that there's a lot of...
The only voice actor that I've ever seen that actually like accidentally leaked things was Kevin Conroy, and that's because he's just like just so not in the know of like what's announced and what wasn't with Arkham Knight and stuff like that. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean it happens. There's definitely examples. I mean
Norman Reedus leaked Death Stranding.
Yeah, Devil May Cry had issues as well. So
but
it's
also,
like
Norman Reedus in the Funky Fetus isn't typically like a video game voice actor, right?
That's
also
true.
Is someone who's just like kind of like
he's Hollywood.
Out of the
like what's
loop.
Kojima gonna do to Norman Reedus?
Take away his Funky Fetus.
Oh my god.
Oh no.
So yeah, with this, it's like I hope we get some Metal Gear stuff soon. And there's been a lot of rumors recently about some Metal Gear. Something happening, but guess what, Bless? There's always rumors that
there's
something Metal Gear is happening. But I will say, I was thinking about this in the shower a couple days ago. I'd like everybody to know. I was standing there letting the hot water just get all over me.
How hot
and I was like, you know what? I like it pretty hot.
Yeah,
I like
here.
It pretty hot. You know, I like to hurt just a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I was there and I was just like letting it hit me. And I like the shower head. I don't like the one where it has like the rain. I like it when it's like one fucking hose throws me down.
Jesus.
And
I'm whoa, Christ.
What in the world?
I fucking love that shit.
You're the only person I know who uses that setting.
Oh man, it's the best. God so damn. I was there just getting like bludgeoned by water. And I was just like,
my hot water
Konami's too. Actually remaking Silent Hill 2.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it. It's been rumored forever and it's actually happening. Huh.
I mean, did you see the news story yesterday? That they're taking pitches from indie developers. They're like, anybody who wants to make a Silent Hill, come to us. We're taking pitches right now.
Who wants a Silent Hill?
Who wants
you
to make a Silent
one,
Hill?
You get one? Like, that's definitely, like, that's what Silent Hills was all from the beginning. But no, I'm just happy because I'm like, wait a minute. There's a chance that there's a reality that this could happen. You know, we've learned to never say never. We saw all three Spider-Man together in a movie. Anything can fucking happen. But it's getting to a point where I'm like, all right. Are we ever actually going to get Metal Gear anything ever again? And I think we're going to. Is it going to be from our homie Quentin Flynn? No.
I don't think so. No. I assume that this is, either maybe a convention thing or maybe it's like him referencing another cameo thing that he's doing where he's doing the voice of Raiden or something weird like that. I don't
like in a mobile game or something.
Yeah, maybe like, or maybe he's doing the voice of a Pachinko Rising machine, like
Pachinko Rising. Yo, if they straight up like they're like, all right, the remake everyone's been waiting for, Metal Gear Rising.
Honestly, I'd be down for it. I played Rising last year. That game fucks.
Come on,
that game,
come on,
I want three more. I want three
Rising's
more.
Fun as hell, but like, come on,
yeah,
man. Maybe
I hope they do a collection. I have faith that it will happen someday. Someday.
Someday.
Maybe not soon.
Metal Gear Solid 4 still can't play it on PSN anymore.
You still can't.
Yeah.
And they pulled off those other games off of PlayStation. PlayStation Plus Plus Plus. Yeah. They pulled off all the Metal Gear games from there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Come on, man. Just give me a collection.
Give me a collection.
Let me play through all these games again in a higher definition. You know what I mean? Higher resolution.
With no latency.
Performance. 60 FPS. Oh, can you imagine him?
Oh, the cutting?
The cutting and those robots mooing in Afghanistan.
Those robots mooing? They were mooing.
God, man. Shout out to Metal Gear Solid 4. Last news story for you today. Story number 5. House of the Dead remake is heading to PlayStation 5 this week. This is Matt Wills at Eurogamer. Retro Spruce Up, the House of the Dead remake, is heading to PS5 this Friday, 20th of January, promising adjusted graphics and performance. Developed by Forever Entertainment and Megapixel Studio, which previously collaborated on the similar Panzer Dragoon remake, House of the Dead remake is an updated version of Sega's beloved 1997 arcade rail shooter, giving the original's zombie blasting action a fresh lick of modern day paint. Most obvious are the graphical enhancements, but House of the Dead Remake also features new audio, updated controls, light guns are regrettably not standard for modern consoles, a new horde mode that increases the on-screen enemy count, a photo mode, gallery, leaderboards, and achievements. There's also support for a local two-player co-op. House of the Dead Remake released for Switch, PC, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and PS4 last year, and this week's PS5 version will be available as a free upgrade to those that already own the game on PS4. Cool. This is one I added just because, like, House of the Dead. Like, House of the Dead doesn't come up enough in conversation.
I mean, I think it comes up the appropriate amount, but I'm with you in spirit that I love the House of the Dead.
I love House of the Dead.
I remember even when they started coming out on Wii, there was a beautiful moment where the Wii was first announced, and we're like, oh, this is exciting. Motion controls? Like, can you imagine, like, a lightsaber? Can you imagine shooting arrows? Can you imagine this and that and all that stuff? And we kind of never really got the fulfillment of those dreams in a lot of ways. We had Wii Sports, and we had so much fun with that. We had so much fun, everybody. But then it was eventually like, all right, what are we actually going to get from this that we're having fun with? And it was like light gun games. There was those Resident Evil ones. They're like, fuck it, here's a House of the Dead. I'm like, yeah, this is fun.
I played so much House of the Dead on the Wii.
Yeah, so this is cool. You ever see the House of the Dead movie?
No.
Oh, that's an all-time classic, bless. It is legitimately one of, like, when people talk about bad video game movies, they're talking about House of the Dead. There is one of my favorite scenes I've ever seen in a movie where they're, like, on this island, there's killers, things are happening, they're like, fuck, I don't know how we're going to get out of this. And they're, like, kind of trapped and lost, and they're looking for help. And, like, this girl just starts looking at a bookshelf, and there's, like, a dusty book. And she takes the book, she goes, this book looks old. It must help us.
Oh my God.
And it literally is their like key to what they need to do.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. It is.
I love that.
Art.
Tim,
mm-hmm.
I'm excited for whatever that next House of the Dead thing that gets created is, but a new House of the Dead game is probably just so far away if it ever happens. If I wanted to know what's coming out to mom and grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Do 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 do. Yeah. Out today, we got Gigantosaurus Dino Kart for PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Farlanders for PC. Mrs. Cat Between Worlds for Switch. Surviving the Abyss for PC. World Championship Boxing Manager 2 for PC. And then Splatoon 3 version 2.1.0 is out today with a focus on battle adjustments. We got no new dates for you, but we do have a deal of the day. Siphon Filter 3 jumps onto PlayStation Plus today. It's available on the Classics catalog for premium members.
Gabe Logan?
I don't want to be Gabe Logan. Let me tell you, Greg, so for some reason, Greg tagged me in the announcement for Siphon Filter 3, and I responded, I don't want to be Gabe Logan as the bit. And then Ben Studio account responded to me with, I think they just said SMH. Like, they're just upset with me. And I was like, no, it's a joke. No, it's a bit. But
so funny.
Yeah, no, now
it's also true.
I got beef with Ben Studio now. I don't know what to tell you. All right, come at me. Come at me, Ben. It's probably also because I didn't play Days Gone. You know, what am I going to do? Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later and listening later on podcast services around the globe and on YouTube. Somebody here is correcting Greg from yesterday. We didn't get rid of the "you're wrong" yesterday. People are writing in saying Belly Ramsey is 19 years old, same age as Ellie in The Last of Us Part 2. I understand that. I think it's just the fact that there is a change of appearance in Ellie in the video game that I don't think would happen naturally in real life.
I think it's pretty. I think that they're.
I think
they're
aging
her. They're gonna figure it out. They're aging her down here. Production takes a long time. She'll look great when it's time.
It's just the thing I think about. It's not like I don't think it's impossible by any means. I think they can figure it out. But I'm very aware, and that's the only thing it looks like.
Hell yeah!
Somebody wrote in and said, "If God can defeat Beerus, and Beerus can defeat." Kindoffunny.com says KFGD for your dumb questions. All right. I will not have that, and you're wrong. You're wrong is sacred.
Was that a Dragon Ball question?
Somebody was writing it about Dragon Ball Z, if God could fight this Beerus or whatever. And listen, I stopped after Dragon Ball GT, all right? I don't know what's going on in Super. I can't help you. I can't help you. Tomorrow's host for Kind of Funny Games Daily are going to be me and Greg. If you're watching this live, after this is Elden Ring Co-op with Andy, Mike, and Nick. If you want to catch that stream later, of course, you can tune in to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Remember, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every day live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Until next time, Game Daily.